Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if they still do this, but as I was a kid, some of you may remember this, we would see things, toys, in magazines, and you'd clip out the advertisement and you'd get your $2 and a quarter or whatever it was, and we'd mail it. And then we'd wait. We'd wait for our present or our gift or whatever it was we bought. And then it would come, and then we would hold it. We'd open the package, and we'd hold it in, I'd like to say two hands, but invariably we could put the whole thing in one hand because it was so small. It had so many cool-looking items along with it. But the advertisement said these items are sold separately, and boy, they meant it. And then if you wanted to run it with a battery, there were no batteries included, so what you really thought you were getting didn't turn out. So I may be going back in history too far. Because that's how we used to buy things. Well, John the Baptist. We find John today sitting in prison. He was trying to figure out who Jesus was. Was Jesus all that John had expected Jesus to be, or maybe not? Now, you might be wondering, now, wait a minute, Pastor, is this the exactly same John the Baptist that we were reading about 2 weeks ago that was saying all the good things about Jesus and pointing to him? This was a man, he was the voice of the wilderness of Judea, calling out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This was the man carrying out the special mission that God had chosen him for, to prepare the way for the promised Messiah. And John had specifically identified the Messiah. Do you remember the day that John was talking to his disciples and to a crowd, and Jesus was walking by in front of them, and John pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There didn't seem to be any question in John's mind on that day. He knew who Jesus was. So what happened to cause John to question and to doubt if Jesus was the one? Well, this might have done it. I want you to remember that John was in prison. He was in the prison of Machaerus, which is on the Dead Sea, also known as the Black Fortress. He'd been put into prison by the ruler of the land called Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas had decided on his own to take away his brother's wife and marry her. When John said that what Herod had done was wrong, was sinful, Herod was mad. Herodias, his new wife, was angry. They were mad. Now, when potentates get mad, guys like John the Baptist go to prison. I think we might be able to understand that a little bit better. Understanding how John may have begun to wonder, yeah, that's a right term, wonder about Jesus and what he was after. And here is the key little word in here. John was looking for reassurance, as everyone here often does. We seek reassurance that what we believe, that all this effort is worthwhile. Why are we here? While talking with some of his disciples who had come to visit John in prison, John sent a couple of them to Jesus. And he said, I want you to ask him this specific question. Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Now, you got to love Jesus' answer here, because it's kind of the faint movement, the jab, and then the punch. He says, I want you to go back to John, and I want you to tell him this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed put to the poor. So where did Jesus point these disciples? The same place he points us. He pointed them to the Bible. He said, take a look at the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. What did he say? And then Jesus says, look at what I'm doing. Look what Isaiah said. And the answer was so obvious. Jesus was doing exactly what the Messiah was to do. Now, it might be easy for us to wonder how John could miss something that obvious. But you know, God's answers are not always obvious when you're sitting there and thinking and seeing that things, well, they're not going exactly as I had expected them to go. There are times when the doubts and the questions come rather easy. You begin to wonder if God is God really everything that you thought he was, when his power and goodness doesn't seem evident for you right now. You begin to question if you can really trust God to do what he has promised, when our prayers, we assume, are not answered. Well, certainly not fast enough. And this is the point of the message. When you find yourself in that situation, I want you to go ahead and be just like John the Baptist. Take your questions to Jesus directly. It's okay. It's okay. Just ask him and said, hey, Jesus, what are we doing here? I don't get this. But then also be like John and be ready to listen to Jesus' answer. God points us to the Bible and what he promises and what he has done. He tells us to come stand. Come stand with me at the beginning of time, when there was nothing except God, and to watch through the scriptures as he calls into existence the universe through his words and all that is in it. He says to you and I today, would you please listen? Listen carefully to the promises he made to Adam and Eve. After they had ruined the perfect life that God wanted everyone to have, listen. Listen as God tells how a descendant of Eve would live and die in a place of every sinner so that they could at once have the perfect life. Walk with God today. Through the pages of the Old Testament, as he keeps promise after promise after promise after detail after detail, he never misses a one. He has kept every promise. See God's faithfulness to that promise, even when people forgot and doubted God's ability to keep it. Watch as God orchestrates all of human history to perfectly fulfill hundreds of prophecies written over the years about the Messiah, every single one of them perfectly fulfilled. See the miracles Jesus performed, witnessed by thousands, every one of them evidence of his divine power. And then we all together stand at the foot of the cross and hear Jesus call out with his dying breath that Satan has been crushed, that the price of sin is fully paid. Listen to God proclaim through the angels on Easter morning, and I love this comment, why do you seek the living among the dead? That one sentence turned this world upside down when you think through what was said there. Stop and listen to the powerful answers. I know this sounds a little nuts, crazy, I guess. But this is one of my favorite stories, as I told you earlier. I love this story about John the Baptist because for once, I can really relate. Because here's this guy bragging about everything that Jesus is going to do, and then all of a sudden things don't go right, and you turn around and go, I'm not so sure. Maybe it wasn't what I thought. You begin to doubt. And remember, there was another person with John the Baptist in that cell. It was Satan. Satan likes to be with you when you're alone. He likes to think through these problems you have, and he likes to help you think through your problem. Does he help you? No. Does he want to hurt you? Yes. Do we listen to him? Yes. Why? When John the Baptist heard his report back from his disciples, I'm sure he had to say something like, How could I have doubted? This Savior is just as God promised. He is exactly what God has foretold. He forgives us. He forgives your doubts. His forgiveness grants us a greater appreciation of his faithfulness, strengthening our faith to follow and serve him wherever he may lead. John was certainly unique because of his God-given mission, granted, to prepare the way for the promised Messiah. He was certainly faithful in carrying out that mission, as we saw over the last couple of weeks, calling people to repent of their sins. He did not bend. You'll notice he never bent to tell the story in a way that the people wanted to hear it. He never did anything to draw attention to himself either. It was always about pointing people to Jesus. John was a one-of-the-kind prophet. In fact, he was the last prophet in the Bible. His membership in the kingdom of heaven was the same. He was the greatest. But if you noticed in our reading today, Jesus said, yes, he is great, but he is no greater than each of you sitting here today. You are the equal to John the Baptist. He is not greater. He is not lesser. He is equal to everyone here, and we should act that way. It wasn't very long after this incident that I'm going to close the story out here. of John's ministry and his life came to a very abrupt end. Antipas threw a big birthday party for himself, in which he promised to do give gifts and offer to do great things for the best dancers that he had before him. And the dancing girl who won the prize, I guess, of the greatest dancer was none other than the daughter of Herodias. And she was allowed to pick whatever she wanted for a gift. And she said, "I would like, King, the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Now, the king did not want to do this, but he had promised, and instead of losing face amongst his friends, he okayed it. And it was done. And that was the end of the life of John the Baptist. The sad part about that, as I think it through, is that John never got to see the crucifixion or the resurrection. John would live and die with the same confidence that all of us have here. Jesus is the one. Jesus is just as God promised he would be.